And also to kind of share a little bit of my heart about the future, if I can kind of express it in a way that's coherent. I'm beginning to wonder if I'm going to manage that or not. Kind of, there, if we can just jump to the next slide, Claire, thanks. No, actually, that's back one. Cool, that's it, brilliant, thank you. It seems to me there's two parts to this meeting. One is kind of reviewing what's happened, the other is looking ahead. We can't review everything that happens in church life in a meeting on a Sunday morning, no matter how much time we give to it. So there are paper copies at the back, but online on the website, there are reports of lots of areas of ministry at St. Matt's. They've been there over the last week. They continue to be there for the foreseeable future. Do look at that, because it just kind of reflects so much of kind of what's been happening in the life of our church over the past year, and so much of what's ongoing in the life of our church too. There are just a few things, though, that I particularly want to pick up on. Over the years I've been here, one of the things that has just been amazing for me has been the people that I work with. And I've consistently worked with some amazing people. And I kind of alluded to when John was up here, the place I really want to begin with is just to say a big thank you, particularly to the staff team, to John and to Claire and to Claire, but also to just so many people that serve as volunteers that play actually really significant roles in the life of our church. People that are on the DCC, people that are on the leadership team, people that lead areas of ministry or serve on areas of ministry in the life of our church. It is a real privilege to be part of a team, and that's so much of what is significant about St. Matt's. We just heard from Claire, we heard from John earlier. I hope, like me, you are really excited about what God is doing with our children and with our young people. One of the things that perhaps didn't come out in kind of their two reports, but it's one of the things I kind of noticed because I work with them all the time, is I don't think I've ever known a time when we've had such a good connection between what happens in children's ministry and what happens in youth ministry. And that's not just because the people that lead it are engaged and going to get married. Well, that's a good thing, I have to say. I'm not kind of knocking that. But actually, they've got the same heart. They want to see our young people, our children, being disciples of Jesus and following Jesus and loving Jesus and sharing that with others. And that value is like a stick of rock. It goes right the way through both children and youth ministry. And it is just really exciting. And it's exciting to see that it's growing. It is a huge, huge challenge. And pray, you know, is there a way God would be calling you to be involved? It might be mentoring, or it might be kind of on one of the teams. Because this is a massive, massive privilege. Last year at our church weekend, Rob Dillingham talked about perhaps a sense that we needed to be moving into a place where we're thriving. Well, one area of church life where things are clearly thriving is in our children and in our youth ministry. Looking back over the last couple of years, kind of we've done a couple of things that have been new in Lent and in Advent. We've had Lent courses, and we've also had a Lent devotional and then an Advent devotional last year. And a particular thank you to Sarah and to Mary that kind of were the driving force of those two things. But actually, it's just, I don't know about you, it was great that actually we shared in stuff that was kind of our own, that, you know, all of you or many of you played a part in writing it, and we looked at each other's reflections and we prayed together. And for me, that was one of the real highlights of last year. In a moment, you're going to hear from Giles about finance, and I don't want to steal his thunder, but when we stood here this time last year, things looked pretty grim, and actually, kind of, things aren't necessarily easy now, but actually, God has done an amazing thing, in a way, much more than we could expect or be on, and we need to really be thankful to God in all of that. And the other thing that I just want to pick up on as we reflect on last year is we often celebrate the things that are starting or the things that are going really well. I think sometimes we also need to celebrate the things that are ending. And one of the kind of the significant things that ended at the end of last year was the community lunch that Sue and Rosemary had run for so many years and served our community. And kind of it was time for them to step down. And in the light of that, it also became time for that to end. And, you know, it's hard when something ends, but actually I think we just really want to express our gratitude to Sue and Rosemary for all they did over such a long period of time and to thank them for that. Okay, so much about kind of picking up on things from what's happened. And there's a whole lot of other stuff we could talk about. Talk about church weekend, talk about new wine. There's a host of things we could talk about. In a way, I'm consciously choosing not to do that. What about looking forward? Annual church meeting is a time I just like, in a way, to share my heart. I guess it's a time when we try to vision cast, you know, what's God calling us to. And I've had something on my heart to talk about today, and I'm still finding it hard to find the words to express it. And I think I've nailed it. I really hope I have, and I hope kind of what I'm feeling kind of I'm able to convey, really. But there's a sense of still struggling for words, really. I want to talk about the nature of church, what it means to be church, and actually ask some fairly kind of big questions about that. Can we have the next slide? Is that okay? Thanks. And I guess at the heart of it is that top question. Is church something that we sustain, or is it something that sustains us? You know, when we look at, you know, when we hear about some of the stuff that is going on, it is quite clear that actually it takes team, it takes resources, it takes finance, it takes a whole lot of things to make church happen or any area of ministry within church life. You know, is it something that we are called to sustain, or is it something that should be sustaining us? Now, to make that a theological question, we could rephrase it slightly differently. Do we build the church? Is it our job to build it? Or is it God's job to build it? Part of me wants to leave those questions with you. Part of me wants to give you an answer. It seems to me, if we could just jump on, thanks. I'll leave the question out there. I had ambitions about wonderful graphics this morning and great pictures, and it's got about as basic as it is, and you can't even see which directions the arrows are going from where you're sitting. The arrows are all pointing towards church, okay? Just in case you're wondering. It seems to me that most churches, and I would include ourselves amongst that, traditionally operate on what we might call the basis of attraction. We're in the business of trying to attract people to be part of our church family. We do things to draw people in. We do it for all the right reasons. We want people to know more about Jesus. And so we kind of find imaginative ways of doing things that will hopefully make people want to come along and find out more about Jesus. And kind of it's a model of attraction, really. The trouble with it is it's quite dangerous because actually it almost feels like you've got to keep doing more things to bring in more people. And kind of the whole thing starts to get driven if you're not careful. This is one of those moments when you end up confessing things. I actually can't remember how many years I've been here. I think it's 23. Am I looking at my wife? She's much better at dates than that. It's one of those things, it's really unusual for Anglican vicars to stay anywhere for that length of period. When I have that conversation with other vicars, you kind of get this look which says, what? What is all that about? 23 years or kind of whatever stage it happens to be in that process. And, you know, I had a stock answer for that for many, many years. One of the stock answers for it was, every year it feels like we can do more than we could the previous year. That's an interesting answer, isn't it? It's a good reason to stay when you see more opportunity the next year than you saw the previous year. Why would you want to go somewhere else when you see that sort of opportunity? But there's something insidious about that if we think about church being about attraction. Because actually it becomes about, well, actually next year we can do more than we did this year, and the year after that we can do more again. And it's all for the right reasons, but there's a real danger that the whole thing becomes driven. The bigger, the better. The more things we do, the more people we attract. It leads to more activity. It requires more resources. It requires more time. It requires more people. It requires more money. I said I wouldn't give you the answer. It seems to me the answer to that who builds the church question is that actually Jesus said categorically, I will build my church. His words to Peter in Caesarea Philippi in Matthew 16. It's his church, and he's the one that commits to build it. It's not what he asks of us. What he asks of us is somewhat different, and it's been the focus of what we've been talking about in church a lot. It's to go and make disciples. And that's kind of what he asks of us. If we do our bit, he does his bit, and one thing naturally happens out of the other. But the danger is, because kind of the thing you see is church, actually so much of the emphasis either goes into keeping the building up or things that happen within it, rather than that whole sense of what Jesus calls us to, making disciples. So I just have this kind of really deep-seated feeling that possibly for the last 20-odd years of my life, I've been doing it the wrong way around. Now, that might make you think, help, you know. But actually, should church be about attractional and trying to draw people in and trying to do things here that draw people in? Is that how it's meant to work? There are a number of reasons why I think this is dangerous. The first is the big one, really. Doing things in an attractional way make what happens in church the most important thing. You know, that's the driving force. It can always become the most important things in our lives. Before I was ordained, kind of, I wasn't very good in my work because actually all my energy went into doing stuff in church. And when I look back now, I think partly that was because that was what God was calling me to, but actually partly it wasn't actually totally healthy. And I think there's a danger that there's because we put so much emphasis on church, there's this unspoken rule that actually what really matters in our lives is church, and not what we do in our workplace or with our families or where we meet with people in our community. It kind of leads to the sense that the church always needs to be doing more. Therefore, it always needs more volunteers, more resources, more time. And we make this a virtue. You know, it's good because, you know, the bigger the better. And that's kind of the business model of the world, really. Of course, what this leads to be is that often our lives end up being consumed with church. What we do in church is seen as more important than what we might do in other areas of our life. So someone could be a scientist working to cure cancer, but they're a science person or on the welcome team at church. And the only bit we're really concerned with is kind of what they fulfill by way of ministry in church. Someone could be a teacher or a head teacher or a doctor or a nurse, but they're on the worship team or they help with the children's work. And kind of, it's almost like we treat that as being the important thing. And we don't realise that actually that's just a small part of their lives. The big part of their life, the kind of the iceberg that you can't see, is what happens far away from here. What we do in church is seen as what is important. What it can also lead to being is that actually gradually we get separated from everything else. One of the things I've noticed is the longer I've been a Christian, the less non-Christian friends I have. And that might not be the truth for you, but I've seen it happen in other people too. Gradually, all my friendships revolve around people that I know in church, and actually I have relatively few friendships. Now, if you kind of work somewhere 9 to 5, you're rubbing up shoulders with other people outside the church all the time. But when it's your job, actually suddenly it becomes your world. There's a danger that we live our lives in a bubble, and that bubble is church. It's a comfortable bubble. We were on holiday, And I kind of had this really uncomfortable feeling. We were at this lovely church. It was great. I'm not going to say where it was, particularly because it's on tape. There was so much happening in that church. It was bewildering. As a minister, I was thinking, how did you do all this? And one of the things they were talking about was they had an art group happening in church. And I have to say, I would love to engage with people that are passionate about the arts within church. Don't get me wrong. But they had an art group going. And part of me heard that, and I was really sad because I knew within the town, there was a really significant art group. And my feeling was, actually, it's really sad that the Christians are doing art with themselves in church rather than going along and being part of the group that's doing art and is passionate about art within the town. The danger is that by putting the emphasis on church, we retreat within a bubble that's very comfortable. There are other dangers that go with it. Because of making church attractive, what we turn it into is a product, and we kind of encourage a kind of a consumer-provider relationship. So even when we find people, what we are doing is we're giving them something rather than building relationships with them. I just find it fascinating. Jesus said he came to bring us life, not fill our lives up with church activities. And actually, I think sometimes it's almost like you've become a Christian, now you can do all this stuff in church. And actually, I just kind of wonder whether we've got this the wrong way round. So perhaps if we could jump slides, it probably doesn't look any difference whatsoever. I could have given it a title. People would talk about it being missional, but that might be a bit confusing. I've just said we're called to go, and I've just simply reversed the arrows. I think that actually the church should sustain us so that we can go, not us put all our energy into sustaining church. I think that's biblical. Jesus went to where people were. Jesus sent his disciples out to where people were. I actually think it's life embracing. Rather than retreating into the bubble that is in church, it frees us to be all we are wherever we are. If we're passionate about art, to express it in a way that it kind of it's expressed in the widest possible context. If we have kind of a skill that can cure cancer, to be using that in the name of Jesus. If we are passionate about seeing young people growing up, you know, we can be expressed in our primary schools and our secondary schools. It embraces all of life rather than encouraging us to withdraw from it. And I think ultimately that, more than a model that's based on church, actually values who God has made us to be more than anything else. You know, that big question of what should I be doing with our lives? And I know it isn't always simple. Sometimes it's just finding enough money to earn a living and keep a roof over our head. But how has God made us? How should I be serving him? Isn't just about something that is consuming what happens in here. It's about every hour and every day of our lives. It also values people the way that God has made them. Instead of going out there to draw people in, we go out and we meet people where they are as God made them, and we honour them as God made them, rather than meeting them with an agenda of wanting to change them or draw them in. So where does church fit into that? I've already said I think church should sustain us. We've been thinking a lot about discipleship, about our relationship with God, about our relationship with each other. You know, we should be sustained through church in our relationship with each other, through worship, through teaching, through all those things. We should be sustained to live this life God has called us to by the relationships that we have with each other. They should be enabling us to go and to be the people God has called us to be in his world. It should be enabling us to develop our relationship with God's world. The other side of it is that actually there are some things, much as we're called to go, there are some things actually it's easier to do together. As church, we've always said we want to be doing what God is doing. And despite all the emphasis recently on discipleship, that's not changed. Earlier this year, we had a vision evening. It was just fascinating to hear lots of people sharing things that God was laying on their heart. And some of them were things for them to do. But some of them actually were challenges for us possibly to be taking on board as a church. There were three really big ones that came out of it, and we need to kind of journey with and think through. The possibility of kind of having a CAF here at St. Matthew's. The possibility of a food bank. Perhaps developing a skills register so we can kind of know what skills are there. So there are some big things that would probably be challenges to us as a church. There are things that we can do better together, and that's part of going corporately, not just on our own. So kind of church is there sustaining us. There's stuff we do together. It's fantastic to hear about what God is doing with our children. What is fascinating to hear there is that actually the children are coming not because of attraction. The children are not coming because John and Claire are running really good clubs. They are, by the way, just in case you don't, you know, think I'm putting that down. The children and the young people are coming because their friends are excited about Jesus, and they go to school and they share that with their friends in the playground and in the classroom. It's just one of those occasions when we need to be learning from the children. They just do it naturally. But if actually the children are going to be able to carry on doing that, then actually you also need kind of church to service that and to make it happen. So there's a balance in all of this. But it's about turning the focus around. And I just think the longer I go on in this, there's almost part of me, and this sounds like I'm trying to talk myself out of a job, and you might be thinking, perhaps we ought to be, re-advertising for a new vicar on the basis of this. But actually, rather than be able to say, year on year on year, oh, but we can do more next year than we could this year, there's part of me that actually wonders whether the challenge ought to be that actually we do less this year so we can free people to do more somewhere else. I don't know whether you know this, that my number one priority in my diary is tennis on a Wednesday evening. It's almost the one thing I will not break for anything to my conscience, even for Deanery Sinner, but we won't go there. And that's on tape, isn't it? That was a mistake. But actually, I go out. I do it for two reasons. I love playing tennis. I get such a buzz. But actually, I mix up with a bunch of people that have nothing to do with church, and we have a ball together. We actually go out for meals together. We just have fun together. And just making time to be with people outside of church has been incredibly liberating. It's just fun. I don't go there with an agenda, or if I go along so many times, perhaps I can invite them to the carol service. But actually what has happened is, well, I know I've got an advantage. They kind of worked out fairly early on when I was the vicar, and they therefore had questions. But actually, don't people ask you, what did you do at your weekend? Well, what, you went to church? Why? Yeah, we all have opportunities in different ways. We need to be free, you know, I think if we could be freeing up our time to live our lives. It's about turning things around, but it's also about breaking out of the bubble and living the life that God's called us to. Not sustaining an organisation, at which point I'm going to shut up because I've taken too much time. It's always the vicar that overruns. I guess that's my heart, that we would somehow turn around the way we do church. Everyone else has had a chance to come back, so does anyone want to come back at me, either with what I've said or anything else at this juncture? Where if we stick to time, there will still be time for questions at the end. But does anyone think now? Could someone run a microphone to wherever they are? Thank you. Hi, Kirsten.
I'm living round at Colebrook Hostel. I've asked several people at whilst I've been at church, who makes the cakes that comes around to the hostels. And to be honest, I don't really want to know, but all I do want to say is thank you very much. They do mean a lot to the residents around at the hostels.
I won't embarrass the person. Some of us might be able to guess. Thank you for that, saying that. Thank you. Anyone else? That's going, actually. Going with cake. We kind of think we need to be technically gifted in explaining the doctrine of the Trinity before we go. Actually, you can just take cake. Chris, Mr. Shaw, is there a song to go with it?
No, I've run out of voice. Just really, one of the reasons why I love the testimonies is that you sort of hear individuals going. Being disciples.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, if we can get more of those, would be fantastic. But is there any, touching on what Claire was saying, as a group, rather than being insular in the bubble, and it is just an amazing church, but with that same passion as a group, I just feel if we went out, rather than individually, as individually discipling.
Yeah.
Yeah, just if you've got any thoughts on that, or you were saying about a cafe or something.
Yeah, a few people have been kind of exploring the vision of trying to use either the church centre or set up somewhere else within High Brims the idea of a CAF, which would provide a contact group, contact with the community, and that's kind of in that praying about it, working out practically how it can work stage. So there's things happening. I have to say, I am much better at saying to people like you when you say things like that, well, that's fascinating, Chris. Why don't you come up with something? I do think I would much rather, I mean, it's interesting hearing what Claire was saying about young people and how we get them doing community stuff. And I think there's a real place for that. But what I don't want to do is remove the response of, actually, where do we live the 40 hours of our work? That's, you know, where do we live that? How do we live that? How, and that's the engagement, I guess, is on my heart. That's not to say that the other stuff isn't there, but that's really, I guess, the thing I'm trying to flag. Does that help? Mr. Mikey at the back. Giles, do you want to be getting yourself ready, mate?
Actually, off the back of that question and thinking about the CAF and stuff like that, where does the streets around St. Matt's feature in the life of the church? I hear what you're saying about individually going out, but I wonder if St. Matt's just could be anywhere in Tunbridge Wells, but it's here in High Brooms. I'm wondering where High Brooms fits into what St. Matt's is hoping to achieve.
I think it does, because on the whole, when we do practical stuff, we seek to do it in this community, not in wider High Brooms. Many of the links we have are with this community through things like the school, where we're kind of where we've been working over a long period of time, and where relationships grow not just with what happens in a classroom or an assembly, but through the parents, the teachers, a variety of people that are kind of a part of that. And then there's a whole host of other stuff, which some of which you can read about in the annual report, where people like Trevor and some people that work with him have been visiting kind of particular areas of our community for year on year on year, building relationships. So I think it does. For some people, for some of us, it figures more, for some it figures less.